If I didn't snap it, it'd be flapping behind me like Superman cape or something.
You look like you're weather ready.
Somebody told me I need to turn this thing down a little bit.
Well, I think they're actually the road guys are going for orange now with stripes. So.
Yeah.
But I think that does pretty good.
You think I'm visible? Y'all have a good one. Flying Cool Tech, May 10, 2006.
Flying Cool Tech, where fun.
Well, I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology, the world, is anybody there? And blindness.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
Hey, y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skutkun, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I want to talk to you about a couple of subjects today. One of them, let's go right, Jakey. How to configure Windows for optimal performance for a person that's using speech as their interface to the computer.
Hey, Larry.
Hi. Hey, the sun is out.
It is. It's
well,
beautiful.
Darn. I was ready for rain.
I know. You are ready for rain. It's wonderful.
It is. It's gorgeous. Well, y'all have a good evening.
You too. Nice walk home.
Uh-huh.
Get wet.
It may be raining before I get home, for all we know. Left. Good boy, little buddy. That's it. And the other thing I want to chat with you all about is the listserv. In fact, we'll start with that. I have spoken with Shaitan and Neil about the listserv, and I think we're all pretty well in agreement that we probably ought to go ahead and go back to free lists instead of having everybody spread out over two or three lists and having to write messages to both if they want to. You know, if you're wanting to make sure it gets out to all your friends. And what I'm... Good boy, little buddy. There you go. What I'm referring to here is the Blind Cool Tech listserv, which is a great place to talk about past podcasts and future podcasts. Oh, excuse that wind. It has been raining all day today, and windy, and now the sun's out, and it's bright, but it's still windy. Got my bright yellow raincoat on. Left. Good boy. Okay, come on. As you know, or maybe you don't know, we had to temporarily abandon the free lists listserv because of trouble we were having from an individual who apparently is behind bars now. This little guy caused quite a bit of damage and annoyance, and actually some education too on the positive side of it. I think it opened up all of our collective eyes to the fact that email is not secure, and it's as easy as changing the from address in an email to make it appear like it's from someone else. In fact, I've been meaning to mention, you know, when you use a service like YouSendIt.com to send me a file, that service sends me an email and it uses your address as the from field. So that way, or the reply to, I mean, that way it actually makes it easy for me to reply to you and say, yeah, I got the file. But that's a case where your address is actually being spoofed. Now, it's with your permission, of course. So that's, you know, that's kind of a case of a good spoofing. But we're not experiencing good spoofing on the listserv in the past. We were experiencing some very negative spoofing. In fact, when you look back on it, it's actually quite pathetic at some of the tactics that this guy used. And we won't go into all the details of it. The details are available in previous podcasts. And we don't need to waste your time here going over all that old material. Good boy. That's it, little buddy. Good doggy. Don't be surprised if we get smacked in the face. Well, there's some thunder there with the branches, because they're probably hanging low. So anyway, Shaitan Bakru was kind enough to set up a listserv on his server, and we've been using that for the past couple of months. But I think we're ready to go back to free lists now. And I do want to publicly and profusely thank Shaitan for all that. Oh man, I know you spent many, many hours, because he was getting, 2,000 spoofed messages at a time. I think the industry generally refers to that kind of attack as a denial of service. So that's where a particular web server gets hit so hard that it can't process legitimate requests. So, if you would, let's all gradually go ahead and move back over to freelists.org. And the address to subscribe to that is blindcooltech-request@freelists.org. And put the word subscribe in the subject line. That'll get you back on there. And if you're new to the list or to listservs, I will alert you in advance that traditionally this has been a very high traffic list. So you may want to use some of the techniques that Lynette outlined about how to filter messages into specific folders, at least for this list. Excuse me. I also have a couple of Blind Cool Tech podcast administrative things to chat with you about. One, I think Jamie might have mentioned the other day on the list that new podcasts weren't showing up. And the reason for that is one that I knew was coming, and that was that the XML file exceeded, good boy little buddy, 256 kilobytes in size. And I don't mean megabytes, I mean kilobytes. So what I had to do was go back to last December and cut those off from the feed. And those casts are temporarily, very temporarily, not available. The plan is this weekend to get an archive section set up on the site. I really meant to do that before I had to cut off the old ones, and it just so happened that we got the size limitation before I had the time to set up the page, so that's the way it goes. And I didn't think anybody would notice, but I've already had several emails wondering about where the old ones went. So what we'll do is set up an archive link at the top with the menu up there. That will initially just display a page with one link on it, which will say 2005. And you'll have June 1st to December 31st of 2005 laid out there, just like the main page is laid out. And at the rate these casts are coming in, I suspect, at least for the short-term future, we'll probably end up with about four for each year. So here in a couple of months, or even this next month, I'll probably end up setting up a 2006 January through March, or possibly, well, I might be able to do it in two for now, because we're back down to about 150k now, so we've got a little room to grow. But you know, when you're getting 5 or 10 a day, that size can jump back up there quickly. And you know, really, an RSS feed is not meant to contain an entire site's contents. It really is meant to display the newest material. So that's the way we're going to use it. And I just wanted to explain that before we got that fixed up, so that you would know. Good boy, little buddy. Also, I've had a couple of complaints about too many podcasts, especially in one day. And I don't really know what to do about that. I do my best to get two or three of them out a day, but sometimes time may prevent me from getting more than one, and very rarely even none. So, you know, I really try to post pretty much everything we get. And I think that's one of the things that makes Blind Cool Tech, that puts the cool in Blind Cool Tech. You know, it's a podcast of the people for the people, so to speak. And I apologize if you get 10 of them in one day. Honestly, though, sometimes I get 10 in a day, and I really suspect that that is going to get worse or better depending on how you look at it. Personally, I enjoy them all. I would kind of like to, you know, I'd love to have it so that you would do the picking, not me. In other words, everything would go out on the feed, and someday in the not too distant future there may actually be 24 hours worth of programming, so to speak, for every 24 hours in the day. And if you don't want to listen to something, you just delete it and move on to the next one. And that concept would apply as well if we, even if we had 48 hours worth of listening in a day's period. You know, nobody is making you listen to all of them. I realize they do take up this space. But I think I don't really know what to do about that. There's limitations you can put, or quotas you can put in Juice to have it delete old ones for you as you get them, but fact is, they are taking up disk space and they're taking up bandwidth. In fact, I was just informed by our ISP that we broke the 1 terabyte mark here the other day. So this information is getting out there and people are finding it enjoyable, as I do. I continue to say I'm constantly amazed and impressed by all the talent that you guys have and the unique experiences, and I certainly want to encourage those to continue. We've also had some complaints about the thunderstorms and the space casts. You know, I think one guy wrote an email and said that these were a waste of his time. Well, you know, not everyone is going to like every piece that's put up there. Personally, I think those space casts are fascinating. I mean, it's the first time I've ever been to a home in India. First time I've been to a cool place in Berkeley. Or in the UK. So, please, keep those coming. I assume that others of you are finding them interesting as well. I mean, it, not only does it just provide a little bit of environment, a little bit of background to attach to a person, but I find it fascinating the different ways that we all live, and especially in different areas of the country and around the world, different customs and habits and procedures that we go through. So, you know, I guess my answer is the same for that as it is for the too many casts in one day, and that is, delete it. If you don't like it, delete it. In fact, I think people really need to get this concept. And if, you know, if there's more of them that come through that you don't like, and there are ones you do like, I probably would suggest unsubscribing from the feed and maybe using the website to pick and choose. Or reviewing your folder every week or so and deleting out the ones you don't want to keep. They'll still be available on Blind Cool Tech if you'd like to go back to them at any point. All right, next item of business. I am going to be out of town from the 22nd through what? 28th. So I won't be posting any casts during that time, and I'll warn you ahead of time, there's probably going to be a good flood of them. Actually, I will try to post some if I can get a high-speed connection. I won't always be in a place where there is a high-speed connection, I know that for sure. But a few of those days, I think I will be. And I intend to make some good recordings. I'm attending the, good boy, little buddy, International Digital Publishers Forum, where I've actually been invited to speak. So I'm quite honored and very much looking forward to that. Good doggy. Well, that's it. Wow, it's a little bit warm out here for this raincoat, man. Beth, I think it was, left a comment on the comment line about another guide dog question, and that was, she mentioned when she was in training with her guide dog, it was a constantly talking to the dog kind of thing that kind of turned her off, it sounded like. And I really hope to be able to put a set of comments here at the end that we've received on the comment line over the last couple of weeks. So I look forward to that a little later in the show. But she made the comment that I don't really talk to Jake that much. And no, you don't have to talk to your dog like you do when you're in training. You know, you have to remember, when you're in training, a dog doesn't know you from anybody. So you're trying to encourage him with the behavior that you desire. And it takes a lot of instruction and a lot of praise, especially the praise. Ain't that right, good little buddy? Huh. But you know, after you've been using a dog for a year, you don't ever want to quit the praise, no. But you know, after having used a dog for 25 years, I have discovered that hand signals can be quite effective. And I use them a lot. I still praise verbally. And you'll hear me do that on occasion, but you know, I don't need to do it constantly. Now, I did have a dog that seemed to me like he was pretty insecure, and I did lay the praise on him. I mean, to the point of excessiveness. In fact, I had a lady I work with tell me, she says, "Larry, if you'll praise me like that, I'll guide you around." Which I thought was pretty funny. So, yeah, Beth, it's not necessary to constantly talk with your dog. I had the idea one time I was even going to try to incorporate my praise into my talk, but that didn't work at all. Hey. Because I don't think a dog necessarily cares about the words you're saying. It's really more the tone and the emotion. That's because Jake's a good little buddy, huh? Here comes the train. Did want to mention a couple other things about the K-Sonar while I've still got it. I think I've expressed my total fascination with this device and have indeed begun using it and reading at the same time. I was a little worried that that might be sensory overload, but it's not at all. In fact, I suspect that once you got used to it, what you taking me around there, little buddy? Water? Once you got used to it, that K-Sonar feedback would actually become almost subconscious interpretation of the environment. I was looking on the K-Sonar website the other day and found reference to an article that Fred Gazzoni wrote back in 1966. And it was titled something to the effect of, my cane is 20 feet long. And I'll play that for you at some point. Very good article that pretty much gives the essentials of the K-Sonar. Now, you've heard me mention Fred's name before. He is retired from the Kentucky Department for the Blind and now works in customer service at APH, American Printing House. So he is. It's great to have a guy like that around, and I have talked to him about an interview, and he is certainly open to it, so we'll be doing that in the very near future. Good boy, little buddy. Joe and I, well, Joe mainly did it, put up a tree swing in the backyard over the weekend, and I had the bright idea of using the K-Sonar to record the environment as you moved in the swing, because you actually, of course, have no contact with your surroundings as you're swinging. And this is a really interesting swing because, well, we bought a 40-foot rope, and Joe really did some improvising to get that rope over the tree branch, which we determined now is about 26 feet up. So we didn't have quite enough rope, unfortunately. But then we've got a piece of board on the bottom of this, and man, is that thing fun. And being that we're on a hill, you know, when you go out to the outer circle of the outer part of your arc as you're swinging, you are way up in the air. And there's some other features of the environment around. I just think it would be kind of interesting to record that with the K-Sonar, and possibly without it even. So I'll be doing that. At least while I still have the device. Let me give you an update, too, on my neighbor. Before I do that, though, I really do need to mention the shocking news I got this morning. I read about that web braille is going down or away. I'm not sure. The message on the NLS site, which is loc.gov/NLS/braille, I believe that's the correct address. loc.gov/NLS/braille. There was a message saying that the service would not be available due to technical and security reasons, and to contact Judy Dixon for more information. Well, I just wrote her a message, and I really didn't expect a response yet because it hadn't even been an hour ago. But I am very concerned about this move. I don't know what it means, and I really would like some more information. Seems like it would be quite a bit more effective just to post that information rather than writing individual letters. But and I probably should urge you not to flood Judy's email with a bunch of letters yet until, you know, we know more about what's going on. That's not going to do her any good, and it's not going to do us any good. Web Braille, for those of you who don't know, I believe was Judy Dixon's brainstorm. And what it is a service available to U.S. citizens from the Library of Congress, National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, where you can obtain a user ID and password from your local library, and you can have access to Braille material in electronic format. Of course, once you get it, you can read it on a refreshable Braille display or emboss it or do what you will with it. It's a fantastic service. In fact, my only suggestion for it would be to have all the volumes combined into one on the website. And right now they're broken up into files that represent individual volumes of a Braille book. But I really suspect that more people are reading Braille electronically now than they are with paper Braille. So, you know, this boundary, this artificial boundary of the volume, which, you know, you had to do in paper for size reasons, no longer applies. I mean, who cares if a file is 80K or 800K? It's a file is a file, and it's actually quite a bit easier to keep track of if it's just one file. Now, you know, for all I know, this is all a moot point. If this service is never going to be available again, I really hope that's not the case, and I will try to find out more information about that and pass it on to you all as soon as I know something. Good boy, little buddy. Jake slows down to let me know there's something around or to get me through something. Okay, neighbor update. Well, here comes some rain. I knew I didn't wear this raincoat in vain.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, what'd you guys think about the second graders that are getting into Blind Cool Tech? I think that is awesome. I think that is funny. It's so cool. It's amazing. Those are some more that put the cool in the blind cool tech. Good boy, little buddy. In case you missed it, I described a situation where one of my neighbors, who has been a particularly unfriendly person since the day I met her, has put up a fence on what I believe to be my land, and still haven't got that resolved yet, but I do have a few updates. You know, I don't remember if I mentioned to you or not, but after she bought the house next door to me on the downhill side, on the north side, she pulled up one evening and I was out in the driveway talking with my son-in-law, Gary, Danielle's husband. And she got out of her car and I walked over to the retaining wall and said, "Hey, I'm your new neighbor, Larry." And she just slammed her door shut and she says, "Now is not a good time." And just walked off. Just like she did with that recording I played for you guys the other day. She brings her survey over and mentioned to me at least two or three times that, "I know you can't see this, but..." You know, I started to say, "Well, we've established the fact that I'm blind now, so let's move on to the real situation here." But as she kept on and chewing me out for this and that, I couldn't get a word in edgewise, so I decided, well, I'll just wait till she gets through and I'll say my piece. Well, she gets through, and you can hear in that recording, she just goes walking off. Turns around and stomps down the stairs. She was on my front porch. And it took me a minute to realize what she was doing before I called out after her and asked for some reconciliation. But one of her contentions is that my dogs are vicious. Well, I would be the first to admit they have barked at her. But I forgot that I had actually, or Shelley, had seen her kind of antagonizing the dogs before. Well, and sure enough, not 2 days after that happened, Joe was looking out one of the windows and he saw her throwing dirt at the dogs. So, you know, I've pretty much changed my opinion about appeasing her by at least finding Fred another home. Because I realized after that that's probably not her real issue. And I'm very sad to report what I believe to be the issue. Sad and embarrassed. I believe the woman has a problem with me being blind. I really, really do. And the reason I say that is that, well, there are a number of reasons. She brings it up all the time. And, you know, she makes all these comments about, you know, not cutting the lawn over there by the retaining wall because I'm knocking off her bricks, which I'm not. So, that's the update with the neighbor antagonizing. I mentioned to you that I wrote to my mortgage company because I couldn't find my survey from when I bought this house back in, I think we made the deal at the end of 2000 and I actually moved in on George Bush's first inauguration, January 2001, in a snowstorm. But anyway, so now I'm asking around to see if someone knows where I can get a survey for a pretty decent price. I called a couple places in the phone book and You know, we're talking $300 or $400. And it probably will be two or three anyway. And I believe firmly enough that I'm correct, because there's still a stake here from when I had this survey done the first time, which is right next to the retaining wall. That's her yard man you hear there with the weed eater. And she maintains that the line is actually 6 inches over on my side of the retaining wall, so who knows. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Glad y'all could join us for the walk home, and hope to see you again soon. My little buddy.
Hey, man, turn that coat down, for gosh sake.
You're not the first one that said that. Trying to put you on equal footing there. Hey. What's the haps? Pardon me? It's a dress, yeah. It's a yellow dress. You didn't know Pappy wore a dress, did you?
A big yellow dress.
It's a raincoat, Mars.
Dress, Pappy.
Thank you, boo boo.
Brings out your hair.
What's that?
It brings out your hair.
Yellow looks good on me, I know.
Hey guys, it's Beth in Newport News, Virginia. I really enjoyed the podcast about the Victor Reader, the new features. And it was stated that there had been other podcasts about Victor Reader, and I couldn't find any, you know, about the basic operations and stuff like that. So if I'm correct and if there are no more, then I would love to hear some about the, you know, somebody actually operating the unit. Okay. I think that's it for me. We're expecting really bad weather today. So, wish me luck. Bye. Hey, guys. This is Beth from Newport News, Virginia. And, Larry, I just wanted to say thank you very much. I just got to listen to your podcast on guide dog accessories, and I appreciated that very much. And wonder where you would get, I don't have a guide dog right now, but where would you get the pouches and the water bowls? And one thing you didn't mention was raincoats and boots for dogs, and what do you think about those? And also where to get. You brought up some very interesting points too, Larry, about guide dog use, and the most important one is that you must use your dog. That is very, very true. Now, I'm nowhere near ready yet to get a dog, but you have inspired me with your work with Jake to have it on the table again for some time in the future. And I personally, and I agree with you 100%, and thanks for bringing this up, Larry, about new ideas. They should be welcomed and embraced, and they do not necessarily have to be agreed with. And such is the case with this one. There is a school called Fidelco, FEDELCO.com. It has now gone national. It used to operate just in the Northeast. They train you at home, and they only use German Shepherds and special bloodline of German Shepherds. And it has always been my belief that, in general, the Shepherd is the best working dog. So if I do decide to try a dog again, that's the school I would go for. And, you know, I have to do a lot of figuring out, as in, I work at home, so I have the flexibility to be able to take walks. I don't do it now, but I certainly would enjoy it, and I would have to figure out where I would feel safe in going regarding traffic. And, Larry, that's another thing. You don't seem to have too many close calls with cars pulling out in front of you and all that kind of stuff, and I wonder what your general thing is, what your general comfort level is while you're out there in terms of traffic. You seem very relaxed but very careful. And another thing is, you know, at the schools that I went to, you had to be talking to your dog every single second almost. I could never have done a podcast. And what amazed me so much, Larry, still does, is that you walk along and you talk to Jake occasionally, of course, but you don't say every single left turn and every single right turn and every single... Well, I used to have to chant straight every time we crossed the street. Straight, 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 straight. And, I mean, every single thing, you had a protocol that you had to do. You stop at a curb, you tap the curb, you say, good boy, Gino, you say forward, you say good boy. And then you get to the other, if you're crossing the street, you keep saying straight, you get to the other side, you tap the curb, you say good boy, you say forward, you say good boy. I mean, it was just never ending. And you and Jake just, I mean, you're just good old buddies, and you just walk along. And as far as a dog, you can't say go to the post office. Well, as you said, you can train a dog to recognize places. The schools I went to frowned on that, and I could never understand it, because a sighted person uses their eyes as orientation, and they don't, and you don't do this either, Larry, they don't give themselves new routes every day for, you know, stimulation or a change or whatever, unless you just want to do it at, you know, very, very occasionally, but, or unless there's something else that you want to see along a different route. But I'm talking the everyday run-of-the-mill, like going to work. People don't take a different route to work every day, usually. So I don't believe that you should have to entertain your dog by taking a different route, and you don't. So it's all very interesting, very fascinating, and if I ever do decide to go for a dog, you guys will be in it with me. I'm gonna podcast that. By that time, I'll have whatever equipment I decide on. And that's another thing, Larry. If you could do a postlude to which recorder you would pick now. We've got the Olympus. I think it's the 320. We've got Microtrack. Hey, Beth again. I don't believe anybody has demoed the Microtrack. I looked and I didn't find anything. So if somebody could, that would be really cool. And also, I don't know if, I haven't had a chance to look yet, but there is a site, I believe it's called ICanWorkThisThing.com, and I wonder if there are manuals for these different recorders on that site. That would be interesting. I'll have to at some point jump over there and take a look at that, but I understand that that's a really cool site. So... there was something else I was going to say, and it has slipped my mind. If I think of it, I'll just have to call back. But the Microtrack demo would be really neat to see what that's all about. Talk to you guys later. Bye. Ah, I thought I'd do that. I timed it out. Okay, as I was saying, if you could give a postlude to, I guess what I'm looking for is the easiest to use recorder. Now, of course, there's a new milestone that has some proclivities, like you can't hit pause, which may or may not be a big deal. I haven't decided on that for me personally. I don't believe there's an external mic capability on that one. I could be wrong about that. If I am, please correct me. But it is 100% accessible, and that speaks a lot. Then you've got the Microtrack. You've got the Olympus. I think it's the W. Oh, shoot. I all these model numbers. I can't keep them straight. 320 or something like that. So if you could sort of revisit this topic and let us know now what you, if you were going to, in terms of ease of use, features, and accessibility. Well, let's say ease of use and features, because if you exclude the milestone, you're not going to get an accessible one in terms of, you know, everything being spoken, because you're not going to get anything spoken. There are ones that beep at you when you do stuff, and you can, you know, you can use it after some learning curves. And, of course, thanks to all the BCT buddies doing casts on these recorders, it would not be hard at all to get to use any one of them. Listen to the demos, take notes, and get in contact with people if you have further questions. But I would just be interested in a little discussion as to on one of your walks as to which one you think is the least hassle to use and has the most features in terms of, I don't mean a whole lot of complicated bells and whistles, but just the most everyday used features. And my last point is that I agree with you 100%, Larry, about relaxing and enjoying your podcast. I love the informational podcast too, but just as much, I love the ones that you're just chatting. And I really feel like I'm on the walks with you. And you don't know how much pleasure that gives me. So you are 100% correct. And if I do my doggy thing at some point, I'm going to do chat podcast too. So each one, the strictly informational and the chat and information, each one is just as important as the other and has its treasured place. Well, I think that's it from me. So have a good one, everybody, and see you further down the trail. Bye. I remembered what else I was going to say. Two things. First of all, is there such a thing as a wireless mic for these little recorders? Or Bluetooth or something? Secondly, what is a Bluetooth radio, please? I heard it on an ACB show. Marlena mentioned it on today's main menu, as a matter of fact. It wasn't done today, but this week. And I've never heard of a Bluetooth radio before, so pray tell, what is it? Thanks. Bye.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Fred here, and I'm calling from New Hampshire. I'd just like to say, Neil, you've done it again. The recording with the hyperbred cars and everything was terrific. It was really great. I think it reminds me when I was a boy, I used to ride a two-wheel bike, and the sounds of the cars going by and the quietness reminds me of that. Very, very well